The smartest guys around are about to break it down like they've won the game a million times.
Well, actually, they didn't really win the game at all.
Survivor know-it-alls.
Yes, that's right. The Survivor Know-It-Alls are back after episode 11 of Survivor Game Changers, and the man that always has his heart on. Wow. Here is Stephen Fishback. Stephen.
Rob.
You have your heart on?
Rob, when I'm around you, my heart is on my sleeve.
Yes. It doesn't go off. It doesn't turn off.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
All right, Stephen Fishback, very excited to be back with you here virtually before 1 week from tonight. We are together in Toronto for the International Incident Survivor Know-It-Alls.
God, our first, now we can finally say we're internationally renowned podcasters.
Yes, yes. And so very excited for everything coming up 1 week from tonight. But a lot to talk about here tonight on a night where I feel like I'm really conflicted. I'm of two minds about this move, and we will go through all of it.
Well, it's a hard one. It's a hard one.
Yes, yes.
Stephen, because what's there's go ahead.
What's your initial reaction to this?
So I've been thinking about it in the last 15 minutes. And I, you know, at first when I heard Andrea was like about to betray her alliance, I was shouting at the screen because this is something, you know, throughout like middle era Survivor, this was something people were doing and it was disastrous, right? Tempura did it. Galoo did it. All these big alliances turned on each other too soon, and as a result, they lost the game. But on the other hand, you know, if you're Andrea, you're in this terrible position, or, you know, Zeke is coming for you. He says he's coming for her next. And she's got the immunity necklace, and I want to talk through that a little bit more later. But I think on a margin, this is the right decision. Yeah. What do you think?
Boy, I like the move for Andrea, especially when Zeke is saying that he wants to come for her. But what I don't like is that, you know, she's leaving a lot of people from the other side. Just like 2 weeks ago when we were saying, Zeke, what are you doing? Why did you go? You could have knocked Sierra out of the game at that point in time. Now I'm a little bit saying like that six really could have stayed together if they could have. Now you left a lot of people. I think that Michaela was voicing this. Now there's only one person that needs to flip over. We're seeing Sarah Lucina having those conversations, making a final five deal with Brad, with Troyzan, and Michaela as well. And, you know, I'm troubled. I'm troubled about where this is going to go.
But Andrew's sort of in a lose-lose situation here. And what I like about this move, you know, Zeke said it well tonight, right? Survivor's all about timing. We talk about that a lot here. And one thing that Tyson Apostle has said, I remember him talking about this after, you know, a couple of times certainly, you want to make your big moves when you have the immunity necklace because you're free from any blowback that night. You know, things aren't going to like blow up in your face that night. And then you have 3 days to scramble and fix any damage that you cause. So Andrea, you know, it sounded like from the episode, they had kind of decided they were going to do Sierra Dawn. Andrea won immunity. And then she, you know, correctly said like, hey, I've got immunity. Now's my opportunity. I got to do this move. Now, very clearly, she has got a lot of damage control to do it, but she has a couple of days to do it in. And, you know, the question is how well can she do it? Now, one thing I do want to say, though, is we see Sarah and we see Michaela talking about what a bad idea it is and how they shouldn't do this move. But the conversations they're in with Andrea, at least the ones that make air, they're like, yeah, okay, let's do that. That's a great idea. Let's do that move. Like, no one is saying to Andrea, hey, I don't want to do that. And, you know, and then she's like bulldozing them over. Everyone's saying to her, yeah, okay, I'm into that.
Yeah. It's interesting, and we'll talk it through from every single angle. Let's just set up what's coming up here a bit. Coming up on Thursday, we'll have our exit interview with Zeke Smith. So looking forward to talking with him on Thursday. And then, Stephen, what a podcast we have for you guys lined up.
Today, right?
Well, besides today on the hit podcast series Survivor Know-It-Alls. Tomorrow we will be joined. It's been 3 years since we've done a recap episode with this man until we finally convinced him to come back. John Cochran, your close personal friend in the inner circle of Stephen Fishback, will be joining us here to talk about everything. Debbie's confidant. He will be here in the studio with me on Thursday. I think he was probably anticipating a writer's strike, that he was going to have a lot of free time this week. But that crisis was averted. So he will be joining me this Thursday to talk about everything going on. So looking forward to that. And then Kiva Winokur, my podcast co-host on the Seinfeld Recap podcast, will be taking your voicemails. People love Akiva on the voicemail, so we're going to hear from Keeve. Get your voicemails in. Rob has a website.com/voicemail. And that's not all, Stephen Fishback.
Oh, tell me, what else?
We're going to throw in completely for free, if you order now, if you subscribe, I'm going to be talking with the host of our Survivor New Zealand recaps, Nick Yadanza.
Nick Yadanza.
Yes. And you. You're the co-host. Survivor New Zealand is getting started, so I'm going to talk with him over the weekend. Wow. So a lot of stuff coming up.
How many episodes is it, Rob?
I think it's two a week. It's 16 players. I think it's two a week, and there might be a Redemption Island, which I think
They're going to do it like slam, bam, thank you.
Well, they're going to have Redemption Island, so I think that's what I said was actually a better idea rather than having 100 people on Australian Survivor. Probably just have, if you needed all those episodes, have Redemption Island.
Send it back. Yeah, put them back in. Yeah.
Right. So let's get into this idea. I like what you're saying about Andrea with the immunity necklace, because I think that is, you do feel safe. I remember in Survivor the Amazon when I voted out Alex at the final seven, I too had the immunity necklace. And
you won immunity.
Yes, that was.
What was the challenge?
It was a huge obstacle course, and there was an endurance element to it as well. And then, Stephen, but I did that. That was like the clincher. I was like on the fence a little bit. I was like, let's do it. You know, house money at this point. I can't get voted out anyway, so why not make the big move at this point? So, I loved in this episode tonight when getting to watch Andrea and Ceri hold court. You had two really fun Survivor players, and we got to see that scene really from their POV of all the different people coming into their office. We got to see sort of Sierra come up to them. They're talking things through. They're like, could you give us a minute? Okay, all right, fine. Let's talk. And then she leaves, and then the next person comes into the office. I really did I did feel almost as if we were out there with them.
Yeah, no, it was great. Actually, what I liked about this whole episode was that I felt like we got a lot of different perspectives. You know, I think we got a little bit of everybody. You know, you had Brad, you know, and where he was, and he was kind of trying to weave his way into the group. You had, Sierra and her sort of like, this is my attempt. You know, you had Sarah's kind of wrestling with her issues. You had Ceri kind of running back and forth between Andrea and Sarah. You even had that little scene with Ty and Troyzin, which I loved. It was such a great little moment where they're like, man, an idol sure would be helpful. Yeah, I wish someone had an idol. And they're the two guys with idols. That was such a great little moment.
So I just want to talk about the dynamics of this vote. It's an interesting 5-3-2 split where we ended up, and I was a little confused about who was voting for who. So just to reset that, if anybody missed it in the closing credits, the five Zeke votes end up being Andrea, Ceri, Sarah, Aubrey, and Michaela. Right. Those are the five Zeke votes. There were three tie votes, which are Brad, Sierra, and Troyzin, and two Sierra votes, which end up being Ty and Zeke. Now, we saw where Andrea and Ceri looked like they were bringing Sierra Dawn Thomas into the fold, and it looked like that she was going to be a vote on their side. But were they just spinning her in a different direction? Because, a tenuous spot here that they had five votes in a 10-person tribe. They could have, if this got sniffed out, ended up with that dreaded 5-5 rock draw.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what they were doing. You know, they were just trying to send them off on a wild goose chase. You know, get them to vote. You know, they didn't want to reveal their Zeke vote, and just in case there were some idle shenanigans or they pulled Zeke over to their team. But they also, you know, they wanted to ideally split up the opposition.
But when you bring Sierra in and you tell her, okay, at this tribal council, we're voting off Ty. Tell your people to vote off Ty at this vote. And then you don't vote Ty off at that point. Is there any goodwill that's sort of garnered by sparing her in that spot? Or does she end up walking away pissed off that you told her the wrong name to write down?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I agree with you. Like, this is not like a trust-building maneuver, right? This is not really Andrea and Suri saying, like, okay, Sierra, you're in the fold now. This is like a detente. But, like, realistically, are they going to be able to build that much trust with Sierra? You know, it's... I really think that at this point, that kind of combination of vote is so situational. It's like... You know, Sierra says, I'll write down whatever you want me to write down. You know, I'll put a little mark next to it so you know it's me. You know, I think from Sierra's perspective, this, even afterwards, right, even knowing she was maybe deceived, this is a vote that made sense. I did what I had to stay alive in this game. From Andrea's and Cerise's perspective, you know, they did what they had to do to feel safe in this game. I think it's just a completely pragmatic choice on both sides. And I think it's good. You know, I hear you. Like, I agree with you. Like, this is not like, let's create a new group and go forward together. But I don't think they care. You know, maybe to their detriment. Like, maybe that's hubris, is that, you know, you've got, they think that after this vote, they're a lock for five.
Yeah. It's just so scary to me to go from a 6-4 majority potentially going down to 6-3 majority to now potentially having a 5-4 majority, and anybody could be the swing vote. And of course, they have this blind spot with Sarah, who does vote out Zeke, who is her ally, but at the same time, she is the person who is the conduit back to the people who are in the minority. Just looking ahead, if they had voted out Sierra at this point, I'm just trying to see how much that would change up. So you would leave Brad and Troy and Ty in the game. I guess Zeke and Sarah could.
Right, they're still there. They could flip right back next week and still vote out Andrea. Yeah.
So I guess she's sort of damned if she does, damned if she doesn't, but she doesn't do anything to improve the situation. Again, I think we're asking for her to be omniscient, so I can't be too mad at what Andrea is doing here, but she is very vulnerable.
And I think she's much more damned if she doesn't, right? I agree with you that it's really a toss-up here. But I think if she doesn't, you know, at least we know, you know, that Zeke and Sarah are going to flip next week and vote her out, right? They say that. And, you know, short of her winning immunity, she's done.
Okay.
So for her to do... The other thing that, you know, I want to say was that, you know, I think... The way it works is if someone is bringing up your name, that makes your name more likely to be brought up. You know, it's like there's a few people you discuss as being possible targets for votes. And as soon as you're on that list, it's very hard to get off that list. So I think you want someone out to get someone out who keeps bringing your name up. And to that extent, it's a good thing for her to get rid of Zeke. You know, if Zeke keeps on saying, hey, what about Andrea? What about Andrea? What about Andrea? Andrea is a target even beyond him saying that, because then she's just added to that like short list of targets. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I get that. Now, why don't Zeke and Sarah end up, if they're going to end up flipping after this vote, once Andrea wins immunity and Andrea comes off the board as a target, how come Cerie's name doesn't get brought up? Like, why does all of the air get out of that balloon of, okay, why don't we go ahead, flip back to the Brad side, and if you can't get Andrea this time, why not get Suri? Why not go Zeke and Sarah plus Brad, Sierra, Troy, Zan, and Ty? Did they feel like they needed to take out a Sierra from that group because she's not part of that final five they wanted to make?
I mean, maybe it's you know, Wait, say that last part again.
So
I was following you until that last
Sarah
maneuver.
And Zeke discussed this sort of Will Wall-esque pendulum strategy where they say that they're going to, okay, why don't we take out Andrea this time? Was it then Sierra where they wanted to go back and forth from the two sides?
First, this time it was Sierra and then Andrea.
Yeah. And so they think that they're going to end up going back and forth and then flip back. Then why not start that this time? I think they said Sierra. This was the plan. They wanted to get out Sierra this time,
then Andrea,
then Ty.
They are trying to do that. I think that's still their plan.
So Zeke is on board, but Sarah has flipped away from him on this.
Right, Zeke is on board, but then Sarah, and I think, you know, very intelligently, Sarah makes that call, right? And, you know, I'm writing this in my blog, and I hate to give away all the juice, but whatever. You're listening. I kind of think she's playing like Sandra, you know, not that this is some like great world changing insight, but it really reminded me of Sandra in Heroes versus Villains, where, you know, every week in Heroes versus Villains, Sandra was trying so hard to get out Russell, and every week, like, she couldn't get it done. And every week she still voted with Russell, you know, so she was trying to turn on the villains and she was failing to turn on the villains. And as a result, you know, but she was still like maintaining enough relationships with the villains where she was voting with them.
Who's her Russell here? Andrea?
Well, sort of, I guess. But I guess my broader point is like Sarah tries to get her plan through and it doesn't go through. And then she's like, okay, I'm not going to make any waves. I'm still going to vote with this group. I'm going to do what I pragmatically have to do, which is really smart, right? And then at the same time, she's also putting someone on the jury who she fought for, you know, who she tried to keep in the game, who was her ally. Now, the question is like, is Zeke going to feel warmly to her? Is Zeke going to feel like Sarah was with me all the way, or, you know, until she, you know, had to go against me, or is he going to be like Sarah could have saved me and she sold me out?
Yeah, I think that's an interesting question in terms of why would she go along with a plan to knock Zeke out of the game? She does say in the episode, hey, if I go around and people see me sort of scrambling to try to change things up, then I'm going to be the target. So do you agree with her to just let her closest ally go out of the game and be one of the people that helps send him out?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's absolutely. I mean, do you not think that's the right decision?
I mean, they have these plans. It just seems like that they should be able to execute on what they want to do a week early. I don't necessarily know if that's the right call.
You're saying like make it Ceree, basically.
Right. If she feels like, okay, the new plan, or that, you know, our first plan was going to be we were going to knock Sierra out and then me and Zeke were going to flip and then join Brad and Troy and
right. And why not do that this time?
If you have those pieces in place and you could take out Ceree at this vote, you know, why not flip? Was it just that there's some issue with Sheriff Dawn Thomas that she feels like,
yeah,
that maybe
that's it. Like they want to get Sierra out. I mean, maybe that's adding an extra flip,
but,
right?
Well,
that's adding
I
in
just
one
don't know
more
why
flip
she would
that you
feel
don't
like,
know.
Okay, I'm better in this scenario where then I'll, you know, I could either flip to those guys and, you know, I'll use Michaela as the new Zeke. Maybe she's thinking, but it just seems like if your plan was to go back to that side anyway, why not start with them?
Also, I mean, you know, for us, we're looking at, oh, there's four and Andrea and Ceree are equivalent, right? To them, Andrea and Ceree are not equivalent, right? Like Sarah obviously has a really good relationship with Ceree. Mm-hmm. Ceree is the one who keeps shuttling information to Sarah. You know, Sarah told Ceree about her advantage. You know, I don't think from Sarah's perspective that Ceree and Andrea are just like two equal pawns, right? I think Ceree and she have a really tight relationship, and she very well may be seeing, you know, an alliance with Ceree far down the road.
Steven, I really don't want to be a fancy Fencerton tonight, but I really feel like that the situation is so fluid. I feel like it's really hard to say anybody made a very bad move tonight.
Yeah, I agree. I think almost, basically everyone did what was within their best interest. And it's all like, I agree with you that it's not, no one really, I mean, that's a good thing though, right? Everyone's sort of acting correctly.
But it's hard to have hot takes.
Yeah. Wasn't there one great tribal council in like Worlds Apart where like literally everyone did the wrong thing, like except the guy who was sent home?
Mm-hmm, probably. Yeah. Sounds about right. Steven, do you agree with what Jeff was saying that there's never been?
It was
a situation
the Vince. I think
like
it
this?
Was the Vince tribal council. Anyway, okay, that's a sorry. Yeah. Go ahead.
Do you agree?
Oh my God.
What Jeff
well, it's
was
funny.
Saying?
It's funny yeah. because Jeff asked Andrea, you know, have you ever? Right. It was Andrea he asked. Right. Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen or, you know, imagined a Survivor season that was like this one? And Andrea, and I checked with her if it's okay for me to reveal this that Andrea has actually never seen Cambodia. So when Jeff asked her, have you ever seen a season that's like this one? She could say.
What was she doing last fall?
I know. I don't know. You know, that's what I said earlier. Like, how did you miss that? Like, you know, so Andrea has never seen Cambodia.
Well, do you think that this is like Survivor Cambodia?
Well, I think with the different flips and the way that the alliance structure is working, I do think it's like in that degree, I think that, you know, because you have multiple tribe swaps going in, you have returning players who are going to inherently have, you know, less alliance ties. You know, I think the thing that Jeff is trying to get at, which is like, oh, alliances have dissolved. You know, I think that's something that you saw a lot of in Cambodia. You saw it in Millennials versus Gen X. You know, you saw it last season. And so, I know, maybe she missed that too. I don't know. I didn't ask her.
To be fair, Andrea definitely did not see Millennials versus Gen X before she played the season.
Oh, yeah,
it was not
yeah,
on
that's
TV.
Right, that's right. Yeah,
only
yeah, yeah.
Zeke and Michaela saw that season, yeah, and Michaela yeah. only saw some of it.
But I think those, like that, I mean, and like, I hate to be a Cambodiaist, but like, isn't that really, is that the first time that we kind of saw this sort of like complete dissolve? Of the, I mean, I know Tony himself kind of jumped back and forth between alliances,
but there were clear sides in Cagayan, yeah, and Tony would sort of play the middle between those two sides and flip back and forth. I mean, this also does seem to have sides. There's like the, you know, Brad Sierra, Troy Zan, you know, I mean, we've talked about last week, there's a rock solid six. Right. This week, there's a rock solid six. So there also does seem to be sides, but it does seem to be there are multiple people that seem to be able to be fluid between those two sides.
Yeah. And so I think it's a couple of things, right? I think there's, you know, Jeff saying big moves, big moves, big moves. But I also think you have all those swaps. I think you have returning players, you know, who are inherently not going to feel the same sort of tightness with their allies, but also who just want to play hard. You know, I think they're doing a great job of casting people who are really aggressive.
To me, I actually think this is probably most similar to like what we had at this point in last season, where we had we went into a 10, the final 10, and had a clear 5-5 split. We went to rocks at final 10. I feel like that we're probably at that same point in this game where we had the, you know, we had Zeke's people versus David's people coming out of the final nine. And I think that we do have those two clearly defined sides. And again, what ended up happening, we had Adam end up coming out of all of that, who was somebody who was sort of like working with those people, but then also was able to work with people from the other side. So,
well,
yeah.
I didn't see it as that neat last time either. Like, yes, like those two sides went to rocks, but like the previous week, you know, there was a totally different alliance, you know, set of alliance groups. And then the subsequent week, it was totally different. You know, the previous week, Zeke and David had been together, you know?
That's fair.
So it wasn't like that suddenly that they were like, you had these two groups like marching all the way through the game against each other.
But I think that Sarah was the Zeke in the last season of it all, where, you know, she was like clearly with the six, and then she ended up completely flipping sides and going to the other six and getting Chris out. So I do think that there's some similarities there as well.
So who are you, who's going to win?
Who's going to win? I mean, I think that that's very muddy. I mean, who is the Adam in this scenario that ends up coming out of it? I mean, I think that that's probably the person with the best social game that has the most connections between the two sides. I don't know who that person is.
So Suri.
I mean, yes, but Suri is clearly on one of those sides. You know, I don't think it actually, I don't think it needs to follow that same format. It's hard to sort of map who the Adam Klein is in this scenario.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a lot of stuff. Steven, I'm curious to know, we saw Brad at the reward challenge, and Brad ends up going on a reward with Zeke, Andrea, Sarah, and Aubrey. So Brad is sort of the odd man out of the four people that have voted together in the previous vote. Zeke talks to Brad a lot about football and shades of him with Chris Hammonds, where they sort of bond over that. And Andrea was really painting it as, this is a terrible survivor move by Zeke. He knows this game. What is he doing talking with Brad while we're all on the reward together? Did you look at it as a bad move on Zeke's part to be socializing with Brad on the reward?
No, I was so surprised. You know, it's interesting. You know, like I thought, my initial take too was like, what are you talking about? Like, why aren't you talking to Brad? Like, everyone should be talking to Brad. You know, everyone should be talking to everyone. But Andrea was raised in the Boston Rob School of Survivor.
I was going to say the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how she was brought up. Like, you know, back when I was a rookie, you weren't supposed to talk to the people from the other side. You had a buddy, and you had to only talk to people that were in your alliance.
Yeah. So it's funny because, like, I'm sure, like, you know, to me watching, then to you watching, it's like, obviously you want to talk to everybody and maintain great relationships on with everybody out there.
So let me ask you a harder question. So I feel like the show really painted it as Brad was playing his ass off in that moment. And we saw a lot of confessionals from Brad about how he's doing whatever it takes to win. But I feel like that based on what we saw happen, I didn't think that Brad ultimately had that much control over what was going on other than making a good impression on Zeke. I felt like that, if anything, that Brad talking to Zeke made Andrea want to vote Zeke out. But I don't think that that was necessarily Brad's intention, right?
Oh, no. I mean, I think it was clearly Brad was trying to like build relationships. I mean, you know, again, we see Brad just being an incredibly nice, affable, fun, social guy who just like wants to bond with as many people as possible. And that's both, you know, who he is. And that's also his strategy.
Yeah. So not exactly that it went according to the plan that Brad was trying to drum up.
Yeah.
To get Zeke voted out.
Oh, no, I don't. Right. I didn't get – that wasn't my takeaway at all. I thought it was, like, it's terrible for Brad, right? Like, his, like, one inroad is Zeke, and now suddenly, like, Zeke is voted out of the game.
Yeah, but I feel like the edit of the show sort of painted it as that, you know, this was – you know, Brad was killing it.
Yeah. I thought that showed him – you know, he certainly was making moves, right? He certainly was, like, you know, bringing out the social game to make inroads. I mean, I think he succeeded at that, even if – ultimately, Zeke was voted out. Like, it doesn't change the fact that he did a good job.
That's making moves?
Yeah, you know, apparently, right? It pissed Andrea off. It's enough of a move.
But was that his intention? Again, if we're playing pool and, you know, something happens and, you know, the ball goes off the wall, don't you have to call your shot to count it as a move?
I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay. Steven, How about that puzzle challenge tonight? Okay.
Reinvent it. Go ahead. We'll say what you're going to say.
All right. Of course, reinventing how this game is played. Steven, what do you think the puzzle was before they changed it at the last second to reflect something that was going to be the theme of this episode, reinventing how this game is played? As all of the crack committee.
The puzzles are always perfectly tailored.
Right, of course. So whatever is the theme of the episode, that's what they changed the puzzle to at the last second. Everybody knows that, Steven. I hear that from many experts.
I'm not going to wade into
people
that,
people in the know.
I'm not commenting on that.
They know what's going on. what 30-letter phrase was it going to be? Okay, so reinventing how the game is played. Did you like that? For game changers?
I thought it was good. I mean, I did think it was fun. It was a fun one. I thought it was really, it's really hard, right? Obviously. And I think that's fun. I think that it's good to make it really hard. And it was really fun to watch Zeke think through what it would be. Cause he was immediately like, the first thing he said, there's no sea, so no helicopter. You know, it wasn't like, he didn't even like waste time with immunity or I guess it was a reward challenge, or like reward or like, you know, whatever. It was fun to see him kind of like do the permutations of what it might be. Yeah, I. What did you think? I mean,
my favorite part of it is when it goes on for so long and Jeff goes into like password mode where he's like
that.
Trying to give hints but not exactly saying what it is. He's like, you could say it's something that would be perfect for a season of people changing the game.
You know what? He does it in such a way that you don't necessarily, because I mean, like the thing you don't, you know, we're just seeing the few moments of him giving these hints. Mm-hmm. Jeff has been keeping up a running stream of commentary for an hour,
right?
You know? And then like, at what point do you know, you know, at what point has he shifted? It's hard to read, right? What point has he shifted from just like filling time with words to like, the words are meaningful. And I think that's what's really fun. It's like, how much do I pay attention to what Jeff is saying and how much do I just like tune this out as background noise?
Yeah. So I did. I like when Jeff gets to the point where he has to start to give the clues away. What about from the Sheriff Dawn Thomas point of view? Did you like how she played this round, Steven?
Yeah, I thought she did good, right? She was in a bad position. She basically went over to them and was like, I'm going to do whatever you want. Just tell me what to do. And, you know, I think they all, you know, it was interesting. You know what was missing, though? You know, Sarah kept saying, let me explain myself. Let me explain myself. You know, last week we were saying, like, man, Sarah's really got to explain herself or she's in big trouble this week. And she probably did explain herself, but we never saw how she explained herself or how people reacted to that. And I think that scene, it felt like there was this crucial scene missing in this story.
Yeah. Well, Stephen, let's just tie it back to the conversation that we were having last week where they decided to vote out Debbie at that tribal council. There was a question in the episode that was asked, why Debbie? And they said, seems like she was the one in charge. Did you like that as the reason? was anybody buying that? Really, Debbie?
I know,
you thought
that
Debbie
was great.
Was in charge?
That was Zeke, right, who said that?
Yeah, I think so.
I love that. That was such a great, like, lie, you know, just great move or just great thing to say. Yeah.
Right. Because, again, if just going back to last week, if they targeted Sierra Dawn Thomas at that point, especially from the Zeke perspective, it feels like that maybe this round might have gone differently. I mean, they're trying, like, Sarah and Zeke are talking about how this round we want to target Sierra.
Right. It's interesting. Yeah, I still feel like there's just this thing missing of like what Sarah, you know, what Sarah said.
Because it just feels like that, I mean, Sarah does not seem to love Sierra Dawn Thomas, that she makes this final five of, I want to get back with Brad and Troy Zan and we'll bring Michaela over and that'll be the final five that she wants. It feels like that for some reason that Sierra is a roadblock for her. I guess maybe she didn't have like it was 50-50. She would have knocked out either Debbie or Sierra Dawn Thomas. But to me, I still feel like that the right move for last week would have been to go after Sierra.
Well, you know, Riddle, the people I've just been sort of thinking about this, and it may be a little bit half-baked. But, you know, one reason you don't want to flip alliances, you know, certainly the people who are left in the game are going to be super pissed at you. But also the people who are going to the jury are going to be much more pissed at you if you betrayed them and flipped alliances rather than if you just voted them out kind of like as their opposition, right? But, you know, do you think there's anything to you want to put if someone's going to be super salty on the jury, and as we saw, Debbie is super salty on the jury, you want that person to be Debbie. You know, you don't want it to be someone who is an influential person who can sway other people's opinions.
I'd much rather have Sierra Dawn Thomas mad at me than Debbie mad at me. Like, I mean, Debbie's going to go up there and be screaming and ranting at me in the final tribal council.
Exactly. And no one's going to be like, oh my God, Debbie, like, take it down a notch, okay?
I mean, Sierra Dawn Thomas is going to scream at me at the final tribal council?
Nope. Wait, what?
You're saying that I should be worried that Sierra Dawn Thomas is going to scream at me at the final tribal council?
I think you more want Debbie to be screaming at you at the final tribal council because she's not going to sway other people's opinions versus Sierra Dawn Thomas. Like, she is a ringleader, right? She is someone who could, move the whole jury sentiment with her thoughts, you know? So getting rid of, when you make that betrayal move, like, think who you want to be super pissed at you, and you don't want that person to be like an influencer, right? You want it to be an outlier.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's probably getting too cute to think about it in those terms. I think I have to be much more focused on who has the control in the game over people in that alliance more so than who's going to have more control at Ponderosa.
Yeah, well, that's why you've never won the game, Rob, and I have.
Yes, yeah. Well, you are the master of jury management.
Of jury.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. You know exactly which pieces to pull out of the board at which time.
Listen, I can precisely identify how I lost every jury vote. So, you know, I've thought through
this. Yes, you are the expert. You are the expert. Let's talk a little bit about the Michaela and Zeke relationship, which was something that we almost saw nothing of the whole season. Yeah. And then just at the last minute, Michaela is like, no, I love Zeke. I don't want Zeke to go anywhere. Where she's crying at the tribal council and she was one of the votes against him.
I thought that was such a powerful human moment. And I was really actually surprised. A lot of people on Twitter were saying, why was Michaela crying?
Yeah.
What was she crying about? I was surprised. I thought that was such a powerful moment. You know, you just had this conversation about what is, you know, how much of this is the heart and how much of this is the head? You know, how much of it is you're doing things because of the people who you're close with, and how much of this is you have to make the moves that the game demands? And you see Michaela making moves she really doesn't want to make because she has to move one step forward in this game. And that tears her up inside. She's betraying her friend because she has to because of the game. And what a powerful emotional moment. Just her like weeping there, you know, it wasn't like histrionic or over the top. She was just like sobbing to herself. I just thought that was, you know, so incredible. And I'm glad that, you know, they didn't sort of underline it and be like, Michaela crying, you know, what is going on with Michaela? You know, they just like let her cry and have that moment. And it like kind of, I thought that was, you know, fantastic television.
Okay. I get all that. But we've never had one, in two seasons of this show, we've never had one moment of Michaela and Zeke together.
You've seen it, though. No, they were like, they've had a couple of little interactions. I hear you. Like, but, you know, we know, we've seen them.
I guess so, if you say so. But I've, like, it was a blindside to me that all, wait, Zeke and Michaela are close?
You're too hard-hearted, you know?
I guess so.
You gotta see the human sympathies.
Yeah.
You're just too all game here, Rob. That's why I'm here.
Is that what it is?
From the heart.
Yeah. You're the heart of this show and I'm the head. Is that where we yeah. are now?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Anything else before we get to some of these questions, Steven?
No.
Okay.
Oh, no.
Okay. Do you have any thoughts on how this is going to go next week? Can you prognosticate that far into the future when we are in Toronto?
Yes. I think my guess is that Andrea is in trouble.
Yeah. You think Andrea would be the target? Yeah. I don't know necessarily who's on site. There's so many idols, too, also in the game.
A lot of idols.
Yeah.
I just think with... you know, with Michaela crying, you have Sarah saying over and over again what a bad move it is. You know they want to jump back to the other side. You know, they didn't build that relationship with Sierra. You know, I actually thought this week was going to be Sierra. I felt like, so I guess either Sierra or Andrea. I wouldn't be surprised if it was Sierra. But I felt like Andrea just overextended herself, and I honestly don't know if she'll be able to do the damage control she needs to do.
Yeah, it could go either way. I mean, Sarah, if she is planning on jumping ship with Michaela to Brad and Troyzanne, you know, it depends on whoever they – do they have a new spot open in that final five? Could they take Andrea out first? Does Sierra Dawn Thomas replace? I think that probably for Sarah, or how she might be looking at it, is like, hey – I want to be with Brad and Troyzanne. Sierra is blocking me, almost like going back to you and Spencer, back where Spencer said, hey, I want to be in that Steven spot. That it may be for Sarah that she's looking at herself like, I want to be with those two guys, and so she's blocking me. I need to get rid of her first before I end up making my spot.
Yeah, I mean, I felt like Sierra's jig was up for a while. Only because, you know, partially because you kind of came out of nowhere story-wise, and then suddenly it was like, Sierra. So I feel like she's – I was expecting her to go this week. I was surprised that she didn't. And so next week I would certainly not be surprised if it was her. I think it's either her or Andrea.
So, Steven, as somebody who was a holder of this advantage in the game, did you like the move where Sarah went and told Ceri about the advantage that she has? That you have said that the biggest disadvantage of the advantage is people knowing that you have it. Sarah was in a situation nobody knew that she had this extra vote. She could have kept it a secret until the point that she decided to play it. What did you think about her telling such a dangerous player like Ceri?
Yeah, I thought that was, especially because, like, I mean, I thought that was surprising. I mean, you know, I loved that she used, you know, certainly a tenant that I've been, you know, a gong I've been banging for many
pagong.
Years. That, you know, the pagong I've been banging for many years was, that's not, was.
Jenna Lewis?
didn't want to say it myself.
Okay.
That. You know, you use these, you know, you can use these tools to build alliances and to influence people. And they're actually probably more useful in that way than they are even as themselves as game tools. So to that degree, I actually liked it. You know, it didn't accomplish what she wanted it to, but it temporarily did, right? Like, they came to her, they said, we're going to vote out Zeke. She showed the advantage, and then they're like, okay, we'll do Sierra. And, you know, Cerise says that, and I actually rewinded it just to make sure. Cerise says, you know, okay, then we'll stick to the original plan. It's going to be Sierra. And then Andrea wins immunity and it changes. But I thought that, you know, she had a goal. She used a tool to accomplish that goal, and the goal was successful. You know, it wasn't successful for the whole episode, but it was successful for a couple days.
Yeah, we'll have to see if in the coming weeks, Cerise says we need to target Officer Sarah because of that. I did like how Cerise was talking about how we have to be very particular about how we address Officer Sarah. I forget where this came from. Maybe it was like a secret scene, but there was, I read that Cerise was like intentionally, like she calls her Officer Sarah because she wants to. Like that's very important to her to feel like that she has the respect of the other people that are out there. So really at the top of her game throughout a lot of this.
Yeah, Cerise is playing like an amazing game.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Really good. Really good. Steven, just let's go rewind back to last week. A lot of controversy came out of that. You and I were discussing who should get the fishy. You ended up going in your article that you split it between Aubrey and Cerise. Officer Sarah was not pleased to hear that.
No.
When the entire article was all about her,
You
decided to give the fishy to someone else. And in true Tony fashion, she called you out for your BS on Twitter.
I love it. I'm so tickled that, like, you know, people care. It makes me feel good. I spend a lot of time writing these blogs, you know. I spend, like, a couple hours every Wednesday. I'm up late, you know, on my computer, you know, way past my bedtime writing these blogs. I'm glad that, you know... Yeah, thank you. Thank you for responding in some way.
And on top of that, she also added that, no, she was not shading you. She claimed that the clue to the hidden advantage said,
yes,
literally, Stephen Fishback did not play this advantage correctly. And it was not her. She said it literally said in the clue, Fishback played this wrong.
Yeah. You know, I can't say for sure what the clue said.
She says she has a picture of it. She's gonna that maybe after the season we can get. I would love to know the context. Do you think it was even the great mastermind of the game, Stephen Fishback, could not play this correctly?
Nope.
Or does it say, like, don't be like Fishback and blow it?
No, we DM'd, and it's you know, it's like logistical. It's like Stephen Fishback played this, like, this has been played once.
Yeah.
You know, it was Fishback. It did not go his way or something like that.
Wow. So there's sort
of... It wasn't as, like, I was actually kind of hoping it would be some sort of, like, snarky put down of, like, Fishback blew it, you know, in Cambodia. But, you know, it was much more logistical than that.
Yeah. Instead of, do I look like Boo Boo the Fool? It's like, don't be like a Stephen Fishback.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
All right, Stephen, before we get to the comments and questions from the listeners, let me just take a moment and thank a sponsor for this episode of the podcast, and those are our friends over at Pro Flowers, and Mother's Day is right around the corner, Stephen.
Ah, I need to get flowers for my mom.
Okay, well, perfect, because that's what we're talking about right
now. Thank you for reminding me.
Next Sunday is Mother's Day, and of course, moms are so important, and Survivor moms go very unappreciated, especially when they get to that final tribal council.
They do.
Very little love.
This coming week is also the Survivor family visit. So, you know, if you're a Survivor and you want to get flowers for your mom.
Yes, yes. Those Survivor moms, they really take them for granted. Make them take their teeth out. All sorts of terrible things. But you can take care of your mom with 100 blooms, not Mike Bloom, with this mom bouquet from Pro Flowers this Mother's Day, and will make a real impression. It comes with a free glass vase for just $19.99 plus shipping and handling. And if you really want to make a statement, you can upgrade to a premium vase and include gourmet chocolates, just like what they were having at the reward challenge, for just $10 more. You just choose the delivery date that you want, and Pro Flowers are guaranteed to arrive fresh and beautiful and stay that way for at least 7 days or your money back, Steven. You can't beat that deal.
That sounds pretty great. I'm going to do that. Like, I actually kind of slipped my mind. So, I mean, you know, mom, if you're listening, I'm on it. But this is fantastic. I'm really on it.
Okay, we've got some of these at the house. Even Nicole says that she's impressed with them, and she is a tough customer, believe me. Don't forget mom, grandma, wife, other mother figures this Mother's Day. The only way to get 100 blooms for mom with a free glass vase starting at $19.99 is to visit proflowers.com. Click on the microphone in the top right corner and use the code code reality space TV. Two words, reality TV. Oh. That's proflowers.com, code reality TV. When you click on the microphone, this stunning bouquet sells out fast, so get your orders in today.
I love using the codes just because, you know, I'm getting a discount, but I also like feel better.
Yes.
I'm like getting a
discount. It's almost like finding the hidden immunity idol.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All right, Stephen, let's get into some of these questions from the listeners and viewers of the podcast tonight. Let's start with Ben, who wants to ask us the question, did George R.R. Martin write this season of Survivor instead of finishing Winds of Winter with all the twists and turns, Stephen?
Yeah, well, they do hand us a script at the start of every season. And, you know, it's interesting. They really have been getting more into literary, you know, really hiring some A-list literary talent. You know, I think last one was written by Brad Easton Ellis. So, you know, who knows where they'll go next.
Okay. All right. Let's go ahead and take this question. This is from Darren. Do you think that Michaela made a bad move by getting rid of Zeke and not Ty or Sierra?
No, I think, you know, Michaela's got a very limited number of people out there who are like tight with her. And I think sticking with them and kind of going with the flow and, you know, doing, you know, basically what, you know, sort of Cerise looking out for her. I think that's the move, right, for Michaela. Do you agree with that?
Did Michaela make the right? I mean, no, that I don't think that Michaela should be straying from Cerise. I feel like that is sort of like the person that is really looking out for her. And I think that she should, wherever Cerise wants to go, I think that Michaela should follow her there.
Someone just tweeted, Brew just tweeted, Sierra can't be voted out next week. She is saved by the secret advantage. My God.
Wait, hold on. The legacy advantage is not at finals. It's not final six next week.
Oh, okay. You're right. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, the legacy advantage was at 6 or 13. Next week is final 9.
Okay.
They're reading the clue upside down.
I can't believe everything I read on Twitter.
That's final six.
This is my problem. This is why I'm not suited for this media. I see it and I believe it.
They're trying to throw you off. It's fake news.
Fake news. All right. Okay. Joe Daly wants to know, is it better just to play an idol if you have two so you don't have the constant worry of going home like James did?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. It's an interesting question. You know, there is something to that, though. Like, I was so worried about going home with the advantage in my pocket. You know, like, you're not just playing it to play it correctly. You're playing it to not look dumb on television.
Yeah, I get all that. I don't know why Ty didn't play an idol tonight. I mean, that he was getting votes. I mean, he couldn't have felt good about what was going on. I guess that he was voting for Sierra. His whole alliance was voting for him. I mean, I think it is a bad move that Ty was not going ahead and playing one of those two idols.
Why? How does he not going to know that it's, you know? Although, you know, Troyzan did say,
"I'm
going to tell you if it's your name."
We're voting for him at that tribal council. I mean, I think that's a bad read on his part. It worked out, but if he can't sniff out that Brad, Sierra, and Troyzan, you know, his closest friends in the game are coming for him, and he's got two idols in his pocket, then he's like needs to not be so tight with those idols.
It's almost harder to tell when your allies are coming for you than when your enemies are coming for you. Because you try, you know, like that's how you get information is through your allies.
I disagree because I feel like that you would be able to tell when they're like acting weirdness. The most weird.
Yeah.
You know?
That's probably, yeah, I hear that.
You know, especially when you voted with these people before, you know, I always felt like it was really hard for me in All Stars to, sniff out what was going on because I never voted with those people before. I didn't know what anybody's tells were, where I feel like if a bunch of people were acting weird in the Amazon, I feel like I would have been able to know something was up, especially if I had two idols.
Yeah.
Okay. This is from Olivia. Does it make anyone feel better to know that Zeke has officially never lost a puzzle in his Survivor career? Can we fact check
that? Wow, is that true? That's amazing. Congratulations, Zeke.
Never?
Is that true? I thought he lost one. I thought he lost one.
Yeah. Well, I mean, was he on the puzzle in the Metamorphosis one? I mean, he was not technically the person doing it. I don't know if he was allowed to yell stuff out, but his tribe did go to tribal council on a word puzzle.
Yeah, I think
what are you defining as a puzzle? Is that a word jumble?
Was it arranged that they would lose that for the theme of the episode?
Oh, yes. I forgot about that. The fix was in, of course. So that, with tongue firmly planted in cheek, Stephen Fishback.
Yeah. We've got to be clear about these things. All right. Emessa Sarah wants to know, is it fair to say that Cerise organized this masterful vote? Who else could do it?
Well, it really depends on if we're saying that somebody decided to send Brad and Sierra and Troy and have them spinning their wheels and then also tie in and Zeke, they were spinning their wheels. So I think that that is ultimately, you know, where do you split the baby in terms of Ceri and Andrea? Because I don't want to necessarily not give Andrea credit, but Ceri was the author, the mastermind behind the 3-2-1 back in Survivor Panama.
But at this point, it's not like revolutionary to say, like, let's try to get those people to vote for some third person. And, you know, to your point, it's not even necessarily a great move, you know, because you're not building trust with these people. You know, if anything, you're building mistrust. You're telling them one thing to do and it's not the thing you're doing. So I mean, I think there's some...
It could go either way. It could go either way. Yeah. We're next week that, you know, Andrea and Ceri could go to Sierra and say, like, we saved you. So, and, you know, Sierra could be like, I didn't really see it that way. You know, I don't know if it's necessarily going to, you know, endear them to her necessarily.
Yeah.
You know, humans are such interesting creatures, Stephen. Who knows? Who knows how they'll react to any sort of circumstance? You know, every interaction is a chance to either make people love you or hate you. You could be doing something.
Well, I'll
nice.
Be curious. Yeah. It'll be interesting to hear what Cochran has to say about this. And given his, you know, obviously he's played extensively with Andrea and Caramone and also a big flipper, you know, so he's got to have some thoughts on the flip.
Yeah. So, and certainly he'll have some thoughts on Debbie after spending so much time with her
on
XL Island.
That's right.
Yeah, he was on this season.
See, yeah.
Okay. Edmo wants to know, is Sarah playing good or erratic?
I think she's playing really, really well. I think she's playing great, actually. I think Sarah's doing an amazing job. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't think that I'm seeing her as an erratic player. I think that she has reasons for whatever she's doing. She doesn't seem to be playing based only on emotion. And I think that she's somebody who's really set up well out of all of the players in the game. She's the person with the most connections to everybody. I think that both sides want to work with her, whereas she has gone back and forth, and she's not a pariah. She's somebody that both sides still are really counting on her vote. Like, maybe when they get down to 6 or 7, people are going to say, okay, she's too dangerous. But as of right now, I think she's in a good spot for the next couple of votes.
Yeah, I think she's in a good spot too. I mean, again, like, I really want to see what she said to people to explain her flip, because I think that to me, it's like the core of her game, right? We talk so much about how flippers are often the next target as soon as they make that move, how it builds so much animosity. You know, I think in these seasons with all these swaps and these multiple different, you know, voting blocks that many people, you know, that it's easier to do these days than it was back in the day. But you know, I'm really curious to hear, you know, how she explained that.
Okay, Stephen, what about this question? Alex Wilpon.
Alex Wilpon wants to know, how bad is Sarah's jury management right now? She's betraying everyone and they all seem mad at her. Well, Debbie sure seems mad at her.
I'll say that Debbie and Ozzy, both in my exit interview, they seemed like that they did not, did not seem happy about how they went out of the game. I think that that'll be a question to ask Zeke on the exit interview, how he felt about Sarah.
Did Sarah vote for Ozzy? She did, right?
She did. She was part of the 6 back at that Ozzy vote.
Yeah.
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 That sort of launched that. And then also Debbie said that she was swearing on her kid out there. And that's why that was one of the reasons that Debbie felt so comfortable in the 6.
Is Sarah then the only person who's voted for everyone who's gone home?
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I believe that she has voted correctly at every single one of these votes. And I think she might be the only person in this season that we can say that. I'm trying to think that she was there for the was she part of the Sandra vote? Right. She was there for that. And then the Varner thing was a no vote. And then unless she was part of the people voting for Michaela, I don't know, in the Haley-Michaela vote split, I'm not sure which side she was on. But she, yeah, I mean, it was a vote split. I think that we can give her credit of being on the right side of the numbers there.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do one or two more questions. Chris Hickey, shouldn't Michaela and Sarah vote out Ty? Ty goes, they have a 6-3 advantage, and Andrea has to take them back for numbers anyway. I mean, do you think that they should have stood pat and taken out Ty specifically? I mean, it seems like that Sarah wants Sierra gone. Why Ty?
Yeah, why would Ty be better than Sierra?
Yeah, I don't know necessarily. I mean, I think that if you omnisciently know that he has 2 idols, sure, that's a more dangerous person to knock out of the game with 2 idols. But I don't think based on the information they have, we could realistically talk about that. All right.
Yeah.
And finally, Jason W., wasn't it odd that Jeff sold sleeping in a real bed as a reward, but we didn't even see it?
No, it's great. I'm so happy they no longer show the whole reward.
Yeah, why it's boring?
Yeah, right? I think we've talked about this.
Yeah, I think that we can trust the editors here that if something interesting happened, they would have shown it to us. I mean, I think that, was it in Cambodia that was like Spencer and Kelly and Keith, did they go on the reward to the temple and they were like, we really didn't even see what was going on there?
Yeah, we saw like a strategy conversation, but there's been a lot of rewards where we didn't even see the reward at all.
Right.
You know, they just like cut, like you'll have like them eating some leftovers. I mean, definitely last season, there were some rewards where they want a feast, but like we never saw the feast. You know, you just like next day you'd see leftovers. Yeah.
Steven, was there a lot of internal debate as to who to give the fishy to tonight?
Yes, there was actually. And I you know, I've made a decision.
Yes.
But, and I'm sure people will be upset about it. And I look forward to discussing that tomorrow when my blog comes out.
Yeah. This is a tricky season. I just feel like that maybe like the Sandra strategy, as you talked about, is the right one, where when things are shifting up so much, if you could just make sure that you're not the person that goes home each time and you're just, you know, live to see another day, then it might be the better way to go than to sort of like really just get sort of like, you know, bunker down with one side.
Well, I mean, it's certainly the way last season played out, right? But it's not the way Cambodia played out. You know, the person who was sort of the ringleader of one whole group was the guy who won. Mm-hmm. And the reason for that was because the people he was with were felt loyal to him. And the people he was against, like, never felt like he betrayed them because he was always against them, you know? And so I think that, you know, that to me, that's the most sensible way to play a new school Survivor, is to take a really old school tactic in a way that, you know, maybe in the way that Culpepper or Troy Zane are. We'll see. I mean, Adam kind of played it the other way, didn't he?
Yeah. It's really tricky to play Survivor, I think, at this point in time, because I do think
you have to get lucky. Yeah.
What's that? I was lucky.
Oh, no. One has to get lucky.
Oh, yeah. You have to be lucky. But I do think that there's sort of like there's a lot of pressure to make the big moves if you want to win the game ultimately and stand there at the end, because people don't want to vote for somebody who did nothing. But at the same time, right. I think that people sort of like resent you when you ultimately are too schemey in the game. Like when we talk about like you have to open up your heart to people, I think that the social game has also never been as important as it is right now, where people really want to have to like you in order to vote for you. So you need to be able to make the moves, but then you also need to combine it with the social game. So I think it's hard to be somebody who does only one of those two things. You have to be able to combine the two.
And somehow you got to stay off the radar, you know? And I don't know how that's the real question. Like, how do you stay? I mean, Jeremy's an outlier. I have no idea how no one targeted him. I, in fact, still think they're, you know, crazy for not targeting him.
But I think it's because he had an off the chart social game.
Yeah, but like it still doesn't make sense why like Wentworth or Keith wouldn't go for him. Well, you know, why Wentworth, you know, or someone wouldn't have gone for Jeremy earlier.
You know, it's almost like the game is being reinvented as we go.
Listen, I think the meta game of Survivor is definitely changing. You know, what count like in terms of how alliances work, you know, in terms like I think that's absolutely the game has evolved.
Clearly has, yeah. Steven. All right. Yeah. Lots of fun here tonight. Should we go with a hashtag hard on for all of the players that need to keep their heart turned on?
I'm terrible with these hashtag things, Rob.
We'll go with that. Also, that we have our upcoming know-it-alls next week, so no live show. If you joined us at the show back in New York that we had last month, if you saw the beautiful cereal box know-it-alls poster designed by Brian Malloy, we have about 20 copies of those that are available if you are so inclined to check those out. I know Stephen Fishback wants to hang one up at his house next to the box.
Yeah, I've got the other one up here. This is the original Survivor Know-It-Alls by Brian Malloy. Brian Malloy, a fellow roadie.
Roadie, as in from Rhode Island?
Yeah, he lives in Providence. We've hung out. Yeah.
Okay, well, if you want to check that out or even to see what we're talking about, go to robhasawebsite.com/serial. It's a $40 item that includes the shipping if you're in the U.S. and then tack on $5 for Canada. Go to robhasawebsite.com/serial. That's not like the podcast. That's Serial with a C to check that out. And, of course, really excited for the exit interview with Zeke. Of course, lots to talk about with him. Cochran is going to be on the podcast. If you have questions for him, you could also email us, survivor@robhasawebsite.com, and then get your voicemails in for Keeve at robhasawebsite.com/voicemail or call 323-282-RHAP. Steven.
One last question, Rob. Game changers or idiots?
Yes. Is that the Debbie question? I do think that they're...
The Debbie question.
Who are we saying are idiots? Are we saying that Andrea and Suri are idiots? I'm not comfortable with that.
Who are we saying is game changers?
I mean, they're technically all game changers. Who's Debbie saying are idiots?
Yeah, I just thought it was a funny moment.
It was a funny moment, but I don't even know who she's talking about. Are they idiots because they voted out people from their own alliance? Is that what?
Yeah, I think that was the way
Debbie
I read
know?
It.
Like she's been in Ponderosa for 3 days. She doesn't know what Zeke is up to.
Yeah, but she knows who the last alliance was, right? All you do is talk about, you know.
Oh, everybody's so smart on the jury. Everybody's just like. Oh, they're so soon.
No,
these guys are so dumb. Yeah.
Hey, you know, you got to make the jury feel smart.
Yeah, I guess so. Like, boy, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, yeah, that you knew it. You knew what was going to happen tonight. Every time, you know, they don't like that pandering to the jury.
No. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Great job, Stephen Fishback. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes, and looking forward to being back tomorrow with our Woo! Zeke interview and then John Cochran coming up. Subscribe to the podcast. robhasawebsite.com/iTunes. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Bye. Survivor, know it all.